on today's program with Pastor Nate Gallagher.
Adam, in this story, chose his relationship with Eve above his relationship with God.
This is Middle Ground Radio with Pastor Nate Gallagher. Relationships are a tricky thing to navigate. Pressures from the world, discerning feelings from within, it is tough to understand. We are taking some time to hear what the Bible has to say on relationships in a series we've called This Could Be Us. Here is Pastor Nate.
When we follow God's standard, we will be blessed. It was when Adam and Eve ate the fruit, broke the standard, that they became disappointed. So in relationships, boundaries are a blessing. God sets up the boundaries. I don't need to go into detail, but I can tell you that if you think you're crossing a line, you probably are. If you're like, there's not technically a chapter or verse for this, so am I breaking the rules? I think if you're asking that question, then I'd say, yeah, you probably are. If you want to, afterwards, you want to come up, take the microphone, and say it out loud, and you feel comfortable doing that, then you're probably not breaking a boundary. But if you're like, I don't know if I'd want to say that, then yeah, you're probably crossing a line. Boundaries are a blessing, but we've got to make sure that we're within the boundaries. Point number two. You guys ready? All right. Excuse the exceptions. Point number two, excuse the exceptions. So, chapter two ends. Naked, not disappointed, right? That's how it ends. Everyone's happy. Everything's wonderful in the garden. Enter chapter 3, Satan rolls in, right? Satan comes in. Because as soon as there's a good thing, the enemy wants to mess it up. That's something you need to understand. If you are in a relationship or you're thinking about a relationship and you find that there's some sort of spiritual attack that's going on, you're doing everything right and yet you're finding things to be difficult, when things are going right, Satan wants to mess it up. But if you're feeling crazy temptation and you're not sure how to deal with it, Satan wants you to fall, so keep fighting. Because when things are good, Satan rolls in to mess it up. So when he does, notice that he immediately draws Eve's attention to the boundaries. Notice that? Eve and Adam are happy within the context of the boundaries. They're doing their thing. They're hanging out with God in the cool of the garden. They're naked. They're not ashamed. They're just living the dream. They're not thinking about the boundaries, right? Satan rolls up and he goes, hey, so I heard that God told you that you like can't even eat any of the trees of the garden. Like, what's that all about, God? Am I right? And Eve goes, that's not the truth. He said that we can eat of all of them. He says all of them we can eat, except this one that's over there. But we're not concerned with that. We're happy within the context of the boundaries. And the enemy exaggerates what's happening to point out what he thinks Eve needs to see. And Eve's like, no, we don't have to. That's not the truth. We can eat of all of them except the one. And so Satan tells Eve that God is keeping the best from her. He's saying, oh, you can't eat of that one? Oh, that's like the best one. There's like chocolate filling in that one. Like, it's amazing. What are you doing not eating? It's strawberries dipped in chocolate. Like, what are you? That's the best one. And Eve goes, oh, is it the best one? Satan is drawing Eve's attention to the but, to the exception, right? Here we are. No, we can. Let me read it again. Verse 2, it says, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the trees of the garden, but of the tree, of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden. And Satan draws her attention to the but. She's happy living her life with all of these trees. And then he draws her attention to the one exception. She said, you're happy over here, but look at this. Notice the exception. And Satan is getting Eve's attention off of all that God has said yes to by getting her to look at the one thing that God has said no to. He's getting her attention off of, look at the yes, every tree in the garden. That's what they had seen so far. And he's getting their attention off of that and onto the one no. Yes to everything, but the one. And they're happy looking at everything. And then he comes along and points out the one no. And many people, when it comes to relationships and the standards that God has placed on them, focus on the exceptions. They look at what they don't have. They look at what they can't do. And they lose focus on what God has given them. And that usually happens when we stop focusing on God and start focusing on the world. It's usually when it happens. It's because we're not content with where we're at. And so we start looking and seeing, look what they have. Look what that person gets to do. Look at where they're going. Look at who they're with. How come I'm not with that person? How come I'm not there with... And we get sidetracked off of God and start focusing on the other things. We get our eyes on a culture and the way people behave at school or on television or in songs or whatever, and we stop looking at what God says. And we think that the way the world is living is the better way to live and that God is keeping us from something. And God, you know, to be honest, is keeping us from something. He's keeping us from pain, unfulfillment, disappointment, being unsatisfied. God is keeping us from the bad stuff. He says, within the boundaries, you will not be disappointed. If you leave the boundaries, you will be. God has given us way more than he keeps from us. Not only in quantity, but also in quality, what God gives to us. The quality of what God gives will not disappoint. It will protect us. It will bless us. The quality of what the world gives us will disappoint us. It will harm us. It will let us down. That's the difference. In quantity, God says everything but one. The world says one and lose everything. And God says, I'll protect you, I'll bless you, stay within the boundaries. The world says, come out here, enjoy the one, and I'm going to harm you, I'm going to disappoint you, I'm going to let you down. And we get so fixated on the except. You can have all this except, and we, like Eve, get tripped up by the exception. Listen, we need to excuse the exceptions and focus on the blessings. But when we focus on the except, we lose what is blessed. We don't get to have both. We don't get to go across the boundaries, be living in the exception, and be hoping for the blessing. It's when we leave the boundaries, it's when we leave the bless for the exception, are we disappointed. There's something called, in economics, it also applies to relationships, it's called the 80-20 rules. Anybody ever heard of that? The 80-20? Basically, the idea, is specifically as it relates to relationships, is that people will like 80% of the person that they're with. That as it relates to a relationship, they say you can't be 100% satisfied with somebody, but you can like 80% of them. And what happens is people get focused on the 20% that's missing. They say, like, I like so much about this person, but goodness, the way that they laugh, like, I just can't, or the way that they eat, they don't chew with their mouth closed, or the way that they, why do they always have to go here or go? So it's like they love 80% of them, but there's 20% that they don't like. And what happens is, this is a study that's been found, that people will leave the 80% for somebody that has the 20%. And so what happens is they end up with somebody that they only like 20% of. They hate the other 80%. But because they were so fixated on the 20 with the person that they liked the 80%, they leave the 80 for the 20. And that's what a lot of people do. They're like, man, this person, they love Jesus and they're doing this and they're that, but they're not doing this. But that person's doing this, so I'm going to leave the 80% for the 20%. And then they're going to realize, like the woman at the well from last week, that they are not satisfied. And maybe somebody there, I'm only getting 20 here. Maybe I'll get 40 there. Or maybe I'll get the 38 over there. And so they get focused on the exception, on the but. So rather than focusing on the 80 or what they have or the blessing, they get focused on the exception. So focus on what God has given you rather than what he is protecting you from. Sound good? Is this helping anybody? Point number three, you ready? Decide or be deceived. Decide or be deceived. So we got boundaries are a blessing. We've got accept or excuse the exceptions. And point number three, decide or be deceived. I always wondered, kind of growing up in the church as a pastor's kid and hearing the Bible stories and whatnot, I always wondered why Adam got all the blame for the fall of man when Eve clearly ate the fruit first, right? Like, I always wonder that. Like, Adam gets all the blame and Eve was the one that was eating the fruit. The New Testament explains it very well. It's on the screen, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. It says, "And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression." Next verse. Oh, that's all I have. Let me see if I have more. "For Adam," it says this, "For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression." Adam was not deceived. Eve was deceived. See that? Two differences? Eve was tricked into doing something she shouldn't do. The enemy said, "You should eat this because when you do, you'll be like God. God's holding this back from you, but you actually need this." And she goes, "Wait, really?" And she was tricked. She was deceived. And so she ate of the fruit. Adam, on the other hand, knew full well what he was doing and that it was wrong, and yet he did it anyways. See the difference? Eve was like, just like kind of girl, like, "Oh, I didn't know." And then Adam's like, "I know what it's going to do, and I'm going to do it anyways." That was the difference in the thought process. Adam knew full well what he was doing and that it was wrong, and yet he did it anyways. And this is the big thing. You ready for this? Adam put his relationship with Eve above his relationship with God. He did an evaluation right then and there. Eve comes to him. Eve has the fruit with the bite out of it in her hand. And she goes, "Adam, look what I've done. I did something. I realize now he tricked me. I thought it was what I was supposed to do. Now I messed up." And Adam had a choice to make. He could either A, take the fruit to God and say, "God, the woman you gave me, she messed up. She got tricked. She fell into sin. The stupid snake came by and confused her and she ate it. God, what should we do?" He could have done that. And what his fear probably was that God was going to say, "Adam, you can stay, but Eve, you have to go." And so Adam did an evaluation and thought, "I would rather lose God than lose Eve." So it's like, oh, some of us think that. But Adam, in this story, chose his relationship with Eve above his relationship with God. He chose to do what was forbidden. Rather than choosing God's plan, he chose to have what was forbidden. And in relationships, listen, this is so important, there is always something forbidden. Right now, for you guys, before marriage, there is something forbidden. Paul said it like this, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1. It says, do we have verse 1? Sweet. It says, "It is good for a man not to touch a woman." What's the standard? What does the Bible say about right now unmarried people? It says, "It is good for a man not to touch a woman." That's what he says. Once you get married, there's still things that are forbidden. It just changes. We looked at this verse already. We'll look at it again. It says, "Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality," this is the following verse. It says, "It's good for man not to touch a woman." Then he says, "Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife and let each woman have her own husband." He says, unmarried people, it's good for you to not touch a woman, and women likewise. And he says, for married people, he says, "Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality," because you're doing it wrong, he says, "let each man have his own wife," one wife, "and let each woman have her own husband," one husband. That's the standard. Right now, for you guys, don't touch a woman. Don't touch a man. That's the standard. Once you're married, it's one woman. It's one man. That's the standard. You understand? So always there will be something forbidden. Right now, what's forbidden is to touch a woman or to touch a man. That's forbidden. Once you're married, it's for you to be with anybody other than who you're married to. Understand? There will always be something forbidden. And listen, this is so important. If the person you are interested in is not willing to stay away from what is forbidden now, they won't be able to later. If the person you are with now is all up in the forbidden fruit now, they're going to be all up in the forbidden fruit later. There will always be there will always be something forbidden. And what they do with their forbidden fruit now tells you what they will do with their forbidden fruit later. And they, like Adam, are they, like Adam, going to put what they want above what God wants? Because that's what Adam did. He did an evaluation. He goes, oh, I want Eve. God wants me to do this. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to put my needs, what I think I want, above what God wants and what God knows that I need. Are they going to choose to do what God wants? If they're unwilling to do what God wants now, they won't be willing to do what God wants later. So, we need to decide now that we're going to do things right. We aren't going to allow culture to tell us what we need, but rather we're going to allow God's word tell us what we need. We're going to choose to stay away from what is forbidden because we want what God wants. I started that story, and I sort of mentioned it about me when I got grounded, and I had to stay in the property of our house. Like I said, I hung out sort of like this, right? Like there's where I couldn't be, and I'm just like, doo-doo-doo. Right here, like here's the line. I'm just like kind of like just playing around on the line. Technically not crossing the line, just kind of hanging out here, doing my thing, like, whoa, oh, oh, oh. And a lot of people, they sort of treat relationships like that. They're like, well, we're not technically crossing the line. We're just kind of like, you know what I'm saying? And people, they treat it like that. But what you have to understand is that if they're doing that now, they're going to do it later. And so what we need to do is decide that if we know where the line is, we're hanging out far away from it. If this is the boundaries, if this is where God has set us up to be within, we're going to be smack dab in the middle of it. We're not going to be getting as close as we can and dancing with the line just to see kind of maybe God doesn't know. Maybe what is over there is actually better for me. And we're going to sort of play around with that line. We need to make sure that we decide to stay far away. We are going to make a stand now and say, listen, I know what the boundaries are, and I'm going to stay within them. Because it's too easy for us to get in a situation that we shouldn't be in. And the reason we got ourselves there was because we were hanging out a little bit too close to the line. It's like, oh, it just sort of happened. That's because you were alone and it was nighttime and you like had candles lit and like what did you expect? We need to make sure that we decide, that we choose to keep ourselves far away from the line. Because it's within the boundaries that we're blessed. It's in the boundaries that we're not disappointed. But we don't understand that. We think, oh, I feel unsatisfied now. I feel restless now. I feel like I'm missing something now. So if I just cross the line, I'll find it. You're going to lose what you have, and you're going to be worse off. You're going to lose what you have, and you're going to be worse off. And when we choose to live where God has told us to live and the boundaries that he has set up, we will be blessed, and we won't be disappointed. But when we leave what God wants, we will be disappointed. That's the story. Everything's happy. They left the boundaries. Everything's great. They left the boundaries. Listen, boundaries are a blessing. They're not a curse. They're not keeping you from something good. They're keeping you in something good. If you break it, you lose what you get. You take the 20, you lose the 80. You get the one tree, you lose the every other tree. Relationships are blessed within the boundaries that God has set up, not outside the boundaries. So take away from tonight that boundaries are a blessing. We need to make sure that we're within them. Some of us need a perspective shift when it comes to boundaries. Some of you guys are like me, where you're constantly getting yourselves into trouble, and then you get grounded like I did, and so the only concept that you have of boundaries is for something that you've already done. And so you're thinking like, oh no, boundaries, they're terrible. That's not the case. When God sets it up, he sets it up to bless us. He wants what's best for you. He wants you to go into a relationship and be satisfied, to not be disappointed. But when you're crossing boundaries, when you're stepping over lines, when you're playing with lines, when you're doing that, you're going to find yourself in a place that you're disappointed. And so we need to make sure that we are inside of the boundaries. And when we are, God will bless us.
You've been listening to Middle Ground Radio. Before we go, here's Nate with his wife Hannah on how we can put this into practice.
Today we're continuing a conversation from yesterday in part three of our This Could Be Us series,
right,
on relationships. And the message title is Limitations. Mm. And we've been talking about the boundaries that God has set up for us,
right,
in relationships. Now today your first point, excuse the exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
I love that point. And you just pointed out how Satan always tries to take our attention away from the blessing part of the boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, he wants us to look at what's on the other side,
right,
what we can't do. And that's just our human nature. That's not even limited to relationships. We're always looking at what we don't have,
right,
or what we can't have. We have one car that works and is great, but we're looking at the nicer car in the driveway across the street,
right,
that we'd,
right,
rather have.
Mm-hmm.
And so my question to you, since it is so ingrained in us, that's just something we can't help but do most of the time, how do we in relationships get our focus off what's on the other side?
Well, I think when we look at the text and we watch what happened for Eve, one, she was alone. She,
mm-hmm,
was in an area that she shouldn't have been in. You know, she all of a sudden got really close to the one tree that God, mm-hmm, said no to. And I think that's sort of how it begins. We just get a little off track. We start looking in places we shouldn't be looking.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we're there, that's when Satan shows up, and all he has to do is just really get her attention on it, make it her focus.
Mm.
And so often that's what happens for us, where we're fine with the boundaries. We're fine with the space that God's put us in. Really, we're not even looking at the sort of the limitation, the line. And then all of a sudden, Satan just brings it to our attention.
Mm.
And then once it becomes our attention, it becomes our focus.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, all she was focused on was the but. All she was focused on was the exception.
Right.
And as soon as we make the exception, really we make that the standard, we miss out on what God has. And so the idea of excuse the exceptions, really, I think practically, just look away. Or not even look away, look towards what we have.
Mm.
The Bible says that we're to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And so often we just need to focus on him and then practically focus on what we do have, and allow God to continue and re-stir the blessing that's there, rather than getting so caught up and focused on what isn't there. And that's so, I think, helpful in relationships, because we sort of talked about how we can lose all the good that we have looking for what we feel like is missing. And then a lot of times we find what we feel like was missing, but we lost all the good that we had.
Mm.
And so it's so important for us to focus on what we do have, excuse the exceptions, and let God bless us where we are.
And that's been a huge theme yesterday and today, just talking about the limitations, the boundaries that God has set in place for us.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday you really focused on single versus married people and the different boundaries that God has set for them in relationships. So my question to you today, we're talking about how Satan, that's what he does. He wants to get us to look on the other side, to go outside the boundaries. Now, we have lots of people listening. So what would you say to someone who is already outside the boundaries?
Wow. Well, I would start by saying that our God is a God of second chances, that just because we failed once doesn't mean we're destined to fail forever.
Mm-hmm.
God wants to give us strength to overcome. There's absolute truth in the fact that what somebody does with their forbidden fruit now will determine what they do with it later.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be careful, but that doesn't mean you're a hopeless case.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that you are just destined to be stuck and fail and never be able to have a healthy, right, godly relationship. That just isn't true. The characters in the Bible over and over again, just because they failed, that doesn't mean they were destined to stay there. One of my favorite verses, it says that a righteous man may fall seven times, but he gets back up.
Right.
And we just got to get back up. You know, if you failed, if you've been unfaithful in your relationships, or you've stepped outside the boundaries in your relationships, repent, give it back to the Lord, and allow Him to rebuild on what you've sort of messed up. And I think there's consequences to our failure. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be easy, and it's not going to be healthy right away, but it can still be blessed even in the rebuilding process. Mm-hmm. And so I would say commit it to God, trust in Him, and now from this point on, focus on the blessing, be content in the boundaries, and allow God and to bless you, and focus on doing it right from here on out. And we
sing glory. Thanks for listening to Middle Ground Radio. Nate Gallagher is a high school pastor in Vero Beach, Florida. If you would like to see all that God is doing there, follow on Instagram at Nate M. Gallagher. Also, if this message has blessed you, we would love to hear about it. Visit us online at middlegroundradio.com. That is middlegroundradio.com. Thanks for tuning in.